from Frederick to mid-Maryland, from the four states to the USA and the world. 930 WFMV.
It's the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Chris Michaels and my good friend Mason Carter, Mr. County Councilman, who sit in for the Morning Mayor Bob Miller, will be back. He will be back on Monday. And on the phone, I'm so happy to have my friend Dean Karyanis on the show. He's the great god, Dean Karyanis. He's probably going to get mad at me for saying that. But Dean, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mason. Well, somebody has to say I'm a great guy. So,
Well, you know, listen, I want to sit there and talk about your history and what you've done so far in your career. But, you know, it would take two or three segments to do that. So we'll real quickly go over what you do. You are the host of the History Author Show. What's that website again? It's historyauthor.com. And also columnist at the New York Sun. And, you know, I got to say, known for you've worked with Rush Limbaugh for, what, 25 years, correct?
Longer than Mason was alive. I started working, probably hear that a lot, right, from everybody. But I started in 1995 as an intern on the TV show. I see Mason's done some interning himself. It's a great way to get started in things. And I worked there for a couple of years, then went to Fox News Channel. Then I went back to work for Rush in 2000 on the website and various other things and worked there until he passed away. So, yeah, that was a big influence on my career. And now I've been writing for the New York Sun, various other publications for the last 4 years. I did some campaign stuff myself. So, yeah, I've done a lot of stuff and all that. Plus, I started out in veterinary medicine. That's what my degree is in, animal science. So I did a lot of stuff, and now I'm looking at Mason, and I thought I got a lot of stuff accomplished. And here, he's already accomplished so much by the age of 20. So congratulations. I can imagine when you're my age or even Chris's age, what you're going to feel like. So way to go.
Well, Dean, thank you for being with us this morning, and I appreciate the kind words. I think that going over your resume, I'm just looking to chase you.
You're right. You know, and the thing is, and Dean, I got to tell you, I love you, Dean, but I'm a little disappointed. All that stuff that he's done, he forgot to say the number one thing he did, and he's so proud of, is working with Chris Michaels on the Morning News
Absolutely.
Express. Right, Dean Karyanis?
That's it now. He could retire. Retire at 20. He's just waiting to be able to have a beer legally at a bar, and then he can just go celebrate and say, I've done it. There's no hill. Alexander wept. No more world left to conquer once you're on in Frederick, Maryland on WFMD.
You got it, my friend. Hey, listen, again, you know, Dean, when it comes to history, is amazing. But, you know, you write some great columns. And let me tell you, worth definitely subscribing to New York Sun to get your columns. I read them. Very informative. And I really wanted your take on the top story, obviously, going on right now. Of course, Dean, is tariffs. And, you know, so many people say they are against the tariffs. My opinion, honestly, on this whole thing, Dean, reciprocal tariffs, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with charging tariffs to other countries who've been ripping us off for years? It's reciprocal tariffs.
Yeah, and I would invite people to go. I don't want to turn this into a big plug for me, but nysun.com, you can read my columns there. And a lot of really great work. And for me, if you look at that, let's fold that into something of value for the people of Frederick. The reason I work at the New York Sun right there is because I want to write for somebody that I can do what I did for Rush all those years, and that's pass on some ideas, some unique thought, not follow the conventional wisdom, not be part of the RNC. If I wanted to go work in campaigns again, I would go do that. I would work at the RNC, but I don't want to do that. I want to be able to judge it. And that's what I think we do at the New York Sun. That's what we try to do, is even if you disagree with someone, you can still trust them. You don't feel like they're lying to you, deceiving you. And that's what I like to do there. And everybody does at nysun.com. Say things a little different. Look at the things that people aren't looking at. Get ahead of the news, not preach to the choir. And on tariffs, I always like looking back at the Gilded Age. That's the time when I live. You're very kind to say it about me and history, but the Gilded Age period is one that I really love. And that's when tariffs were really big. And people seem to understand them there before we had the income tax. But also, there wasn't this 24-hour news cycle that you just alluded to. This is the big story. This is the only story. This is the thing in capital letters, all caps. And you ask about them being reciprocal. That's the entire job of the federal government as far as trade goes, is to see we're getting a fair deal. And I chuckle when I see Trump's trade war, and Trump started a trade war, and he slapped on these tariffs. Well, as I wrote again here in the New York Sun recently, he's responding. This is like somebody punches you in a bar, and you punch him back, and they say, "Look at that, Chris. I can't believe he punched him." You know, and I'm sure Mason's going to jump in there, and then they'll say, "Well, he started the fight." Well, no, the fight has been ongoing, and this is something that, back when he was just Donald Trump real estate developer and they were making reference to him on every single sitcom, he talked about doing. He said, we should be fighting back. And Lee Iacocca, people don't want to talk about President Trump, don't like him. Go look at Lee Iacocca's books from the 1990s. He talked about how, I remember one great detail, you can't even sell hand towels in Japan. Because they'll look them over and they decide what they'll import. And they say, well, you're too thick, your American bath towels and washcloths, so they can't clean the Japanese ears. So we won't let you sell them in Japan. And there's a ton of those things in China. And China, communist China speaking, not the free island of Taiwan, they're telling us, well, you can come make your things here. And then guess what, Chris? They come, if you have a product to sell there, You have a bunch of cats and dogs, right? Let's say you invent a new self-cleaning litter box for those cats. Well, China's happy to let you produce them there, but they're stealing your technology the whole time, and they're putting you out of business because they're selling it back on Temu and manufacturing it at a quarter, a third of the price. You don't get a dime for that. You're out of business, and people are tired of that. And so I think that's the thing. The tariffs, I wish more people were just willing to endure. I think if you win an election, whoever you are, for president, you have a right to impose or implement your policies. And I think that that's what's happening. And I wouldn't get real bent up. I'd be interested to hear what Mason has to say, because here's a young person, maybe hasn't seen these things a million times before, but I've been through so many of these things that were the thing going to be the end of the world, and they just don't end up being so. So I would just encourage people to back off as much as you can. I understand there's people that are saying, oh gosh, my 401k. Well, it's not meant to be stared at. Some people are always going to suffer. I just described one side of the tariff that the people that are suffering there, having their intellectual property stolen. So I think it's just something to balance, because in the long run, things will get better is the idea, that this will reset things, that everybody will benefit. Now, we'll see if that will happen, but I think you earn the right to try and implement your policies. And it's something that President Trump ran on. So I think we wait, and even if you don't like him, as I said, people can go back and look at what all the Democrats said. Look at what Dick Gephardt said about trade in 1988 with his famous Hyundai ad. He said, we can't sell our cars there. It costs $48,000 at the time, a lot of money for a car, to sell one of our K cars there, Chrysler. But they're selling Hyundais here for nothing, without any charge. So you're absolutely right. The keyword there is absolutely reciprocal.
Can you hang out a little while longer, Dean? A few more questions that we have for you. Mason, of course, has some great questions. So if you can hang tight, I would really appreciate it for the next segment.
Sure, and I'll try to pause more so you guys can get a word in, but I've been anxious.
As somebody with asthma, I don't know how you do it without taking a breath. I would have been passed out a long time ago. But hey, listen, you know what? It's great information, Dean, and we appreciate it. And we're going to get back with Dean Karyanis coming up right here on the Morning News Express Free Talk, 930 WFMD. It's the Morning News Express, Free Talk, 930, WFMD, WFMD.com. Chris Michaels, Mason Carter, hanging out with you, and got our good friend Dean Karyanis on the phone. Dean Karyanis, of course, great columnist, and I definitely invite you to check out his columns over at the New York Sun. That's nysun.com. Great info. And Dean, thank you so much for hanging out with us here. We got a few minutes before we got to get to traffic and weather. But, you know, I was talking with Mason off air. Mason's like, so Dean's a history buff. I said, no, he is the history buff. I don't know where he stores all this knowledge of his, but actually Mason had a question for you, Dean.
Lay it on me.
Dean, thanks for staying. I guess we could say, Dean, thanks for staying up in here with us.
That's a DMX reference for anybody out there who's not in their 40s.
Dean, so I've had some people come to me worried about tariffs because they know tariffs from school and they learn about the Smoot-Hawley tariff in 1930, which they say exacerbated the Great Depression. How are these different?
Well, it's nice that they say exacerbated. They think it because a lot of people say it started it and the stock market crash preceded it by 8 months. But I would shift and I would do a little bit of a cagey radio sleight of hand here and say, first of all, it was so long ago, the economy was very different then. But if you look at what Michael Reagan said about his father's comments about tariffs, and this is a column I wrote there at mysun.com recently, Communist China tweeted out a clip of President Reagan talking about tariffs, and a lot of people picked it up, and they didn't quote the main part. Even Newsweek said they put the whole speech, but they didn't. They put about a third of it. But the key thing Michael Reagan said was, it was 40 years ago, a different time, a different president, and President Reagan made those comments that he made about tariffs that the Communist Chinese quoted because he was imposing tariffs on Japan, on Japanese semiconductors, which ended up booming in the 1990s after he imposed these, although there's not necessarily a direct correlation. And just like with the Smoot-Hawley tariff that you mentioned, or the Smoot-Hawley Act, you can't definitely say because something followed some of it, the Great Depression, that it was definitely related to it. And I would just ask where all the Smoot-Hawley talk was back when the Democrats were pushing for tariffs. And that kind of gives you a little inkling there that maybe there's something that's not exactly honest, that people are just seizing on these tariffs. That's a great word there that usually Republicans only do. But they're seizing on this, counting on people not knowing much of what is going on or what went on. Rush always used to say, history begins the day you were born for most people, which is crazy to think when that day would have been for Mason. Gosh. But anyway, so people don't really know what happened. They don't think of the complex factors. They want to pick a real short, easy answer. And that's usually not the case. And when people quote things in the past and look at them, as I wrote in this New York Sun column about Reagan, I always say, isn't it amazing the things people quote, the people that they quote, the dead people, they always agree with the person quoting them. There's never any nuance. There's never, well, yeah, you know, Reagan probably would have thought I was a jerk on this, but it's always, well, he would have agreed with me to the point where you have communists quoting and you know, editing there out of context, Ronald Reagan and claiming that he would have been a fellow traveler. Well, he wouldn't have been. And I would just ask people, China has massive tariffs on us. Canada has tariffs on us. God love our Canadian neighbors to the north. But they don't seem to have great depressions there, do they? In fact, China is booming. Why is that? If tariffs are this poison pill, why didn't we just eliminate every and all tariffs? Well, of course we didn't. And I would point out also that a lot of those were agricultural tariffs. In fact, they were pretty much all agricultural tariffs at first, Smoot-Hawley. And then later, some special interest groups started adding on their own industries they wanted protected. So we're talking about something that we even see today with farmers. It's common for farmers to have tariffs imposed. You know, they go, they lobby people who are in office, and they say, come on, you got to protect us from foreign competition. And usually Congress responds and does so. So I'm always cautious about going back to the past and saying this is exactly like this. That was a different time, a different era, and the way people are casting it as well, because it followed it. Well, you know, it also followed Louise Brooks being really big in the talkies. That doesn't mean Louise Brooks caused the Great Depression. And so I'm always cautious about people going for those real simple 140-word answers. I think we could talk about that all day, but as I promise you guys, I would pause and let you talk. So go ahead, Mason.
Well, I was just going to say, I know I said one more segment, but I have another question. Can we hold you for another segment, Dean? I know, you know, you're a busy man, my friend.
You want more Louise Brooks references? I've got more Louise Brooks.
we want Dean Karyanis references. By the way, I will say, my friend, you know I love you to death, but tread lightly on the Canada talk. Don't you have somebody in your household who's from there originally?
I love them. My wife, Catherine, is indeed right. A recovering Canadian.
And a big hockey fan at that. It's the Morning News Express. We've got more with Dean Karyanis coming up on Free Talk 930 WFMD. The Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WSND. Chris Michaels, Mason Carter hanging out, and of course, have on the phone my good friend Dean Karyanis, who I worked with here at WSND, helped me out co-hosting the morning show when the morning mayor was off. which he is this week. He'll be back on Monday, though, so have no fear. But Dean Carrion is host of the History Author Show and columnist for the New York Sun. That's nysun.com. I would definitely encourage our listeners to go and check out his articles. Really well written. And also historyauthor.com, correct, Dean?
Yeah, you got it. You nailed it right there.
Real quickly, I have another question regarding tariffs, but because that's our topic right now we're talking about with you. But fill us in real quick on historyauthor.com.
Well, I like to go and interview authors. I like to use this really to inform my columns now, and I'm fortunate to have interviewed a lot of authors. I don't want to say really great authors. That just sounds like boilerplate. A lot of radio is just pre-programmed things people spitting out. But I try to go get people who've gone to the primary sources, which I would invite everyone to do, as we just did a little bit there, you, Mason, and I, in the last segment about Smoot Hawley, and have uncovered some myths, have uncovered some things that people just assumed. Ty Cobb is my favorite example. Generations of baseball fans grew up thinking he was a horrible racist and all these lies about him. And you read the book by Charles Learson, A Terrible Beauty, and he debunks all of these things. And it's something just, I love to be proven wrong about things, I guess is what you'd say. And I think a lot of us don't. I think too few people go and say, well, wait a minute, let me kick the tires of that quote I see on the internet, and if it was real, did this person really say that? What did Reagan think about tariffs? What did William McKinley think about the mountain being named for him? And what might he think today? I avoid putting words in people's mouths, but I have a good idea that he wouldn't be too worked up about it because he was a humble guy. So I go for people like that. I try to interview them. I haven't done a fresh interview in a while, but I have, I think, 260 interviews there.
Holy
for
God.
Anyone who wants to go to. Anyone who wants to go to historyauthor.com and check it out, you can dig into the archives, hear a lot of me talking, a lot of the guests talking, just have a fun conversation like this. History doesn't have to be this dry, dead thing. It can really provide a pathway forward, and that's why we look at it here when we talk about tariffs today and dig into it and see what can we learn from the past so we don't repeat their mistakes.
You know, I you know, you talk about, and that's cool about Ty Cobb. So it's other things, not just, you know, politics, but you learn about sports. And a lot of people, you know, talking about history, you know, everybody says, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Elvis Presley was this racist guy. Well, it turns out that's not the case. Elvis Presley was not at all racist. Now, he took a lot of, I get the music that he sang from great black artists, rhythm and blues and stuff like that. But, you know, Elvis Presley was a big proponent of the civil rights, and he was distraught and disgusted when the horrible tragedy of Martin Luther King, when he got assassinated. So it's great that you get into that because, you know, people talk and people say things about certain people, but you don't really know the truth unless you really dig into it. And that sounds like that's what historyauthor.com is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the mission, is to try to get people to have something enjoyable. And in fact, I did an interview with Nick Hershon, who wrote a book on, guess what? Your New York Islanders infamous fisherman logo, which I'm trying to find a reference that Mason would get, but that's even too long ago for him. That's in the mid 90s. That one, it's getting closer to his time. But, and so you look at those things and what can we dig out of it? What can we find that's interesting? A lot of people just want to come on shows and plug their own things. I'm honestly a little uncomfortable with you, as you said, praising me and giving nysun.com, and there, I just did it again. But I have some value to offer people. I think it's very important to give people something that they say, hey, I never knew that. I didn't know that. Right now, people are probably yelling at the radio about Ty Cobb. But if you go check out that book, I did two interviews there with Charles Learson about his book, and you learn something and you say, well, it's not our fault that we've been misinformed about somebody like Jimmy Stewart. There's that myth out there that he was also a racist guy, and it upsets people. It's cutting down our heroes is what it is. And I think even anytime we try to apply our current rules, I mean, who gets to decide if somebody's actions, for instance, with Elvis? Everyone borrows from everyone. So where does that exactly become the sin of racism? I don't think that we can, I really shy away from labeling anybody anything. Same goes for any other label that you want to throw out there. And so that's what I try to do. I try to ask some of those questions, bring those people to life from the past, because they can speak to us if we're willing to listen.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up here in a second, but Mason has one more question. I tell you, we need more than two or three segments because there's so many other things I want to get to you with you, Dean, but hoping you'll come on the show more often. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Mason.
Not a question, but just to add on to what you're saying, I think you're absolutely right, and I thank you for the work you're doing to clear the air on some of these allegations that have really ruined the reputation of certain people in history, some great men too. Because you have to understand that people who are holding public office today, people who are public figures who are using today's standards to judge men of tomorrow, better be careful because they must know, they must think that in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years from now, people in their spots are going to be using their standards from in 50 years to judge us today. So let's be careful with how we judge people.
Great point, my friend. Dean Karyanis, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and getting up early. And again, want to get you on more often because always great insight and truly appreciate you, my friend, and all you do. And again, we'll give it one more plug because it is a good column, NewYorkSun.com, historyauthor.com. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
It's the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD.